Season which started last week, entitled I Love My Church. Isn't that great? Do you hear any amen? Amen? Fantastic. And the premise of the sermon season is very simple. I'm just tidying up here. I'm a guy who likes tidiness. The premise of the sermon season is very simple. Jesus loves his church. We are called the bride. He's called the groom. That means there must be a great love relationship going on between the church and Jesus and the church. And all the expectation, all the romance, everything that goes on with that is there. And if we claim to be lovers of Jesus, I think we will love what Jesus loves. It's as simple as that. And that was last week's message in a nutshell. This week's message starts with a question. If Jesus visited our church today, imagine he was one of our guests. He walked in through those doors. We do know Jesus is here, he's in us, but just the question. If Jesus visited our church today, what would he say about it? Just think about that. Would he be impressed with the things that we think impress people? Bless you. Would he comment on our buildings? Would he mention the size of our congregation? Would he notice how much money we put into the offering? Would he feel like an outsider? You know, ministers, pastors always feel nervous when someone says, I visited your church on Sunday and. So you usually know what's going to come after the and. But what if Jesus himself dropped by? Many years ago, a person by the name of John Stott, you may have heard of him, wrote a fine little book called What Christ Thinks of the Church. And basically it was based on Revelation 2 and 3 to the seven churches there. We're not looking at those seven churches this morning. The title just intrigued me. What Christ Thinks of the Church. What does Jesus think of our church? What does Jesus think about our church? What would be important to him? The sermon can go in many directions. I'm sure if you're the preacher this morning, you could think of a direction. Perhaps your pet thing in the church. You know, we all got our pet thing. You know, to the evangelist, everything must be evangelistic. To the prophet, everything must be prophetic. To the worshiper, everything must be worship. To the preacher, everything must be preaching. To the leader, everything must be leadership, leadership, leadership. So we would all bring our thing. But going back to the premise of I love my church and that Jesus loves his church, therefore we should love what Jesus loves. I think what Jesus would be looking for is found in Psalm 92, which Chris beautifully read to us this morning. Thank you. Are we planted? Are we planted in God's house? Are we planted in the thing and the vision that God is unfolding within his house? Because anyone can go to church. But to be planted is an entirely different story. Anyone can attend a church. But we see in Scripture that those who are planted in the house of God, there's certain blessings that come upon their lives. You may have heard of Rick Warren. Rick Warren is a leader of leaders. And he has said something about the church. And it was in last week's life group notes. So some life groups have already discussed this one. He said this: God created the church to meet your five deepest needs. A purpose to live for. A people to live with. Principles to live by, a profession to live out, and power to live on. There is no other place on earth where you can find all of these five blessings in one place. A purpose, a people, principles, profession, and power. And we know in our life group, somebody said, well, potentially that could exist anywhere. But if you had to go back to the birthday of the church, which we looked at last week, Acts 2, the church was birthed in power. Not any old power, but the power of the Holy Spirit, the same power which raised Christ from the dead. That is what the church was birthed in. And that is the power that is powers the church. The Holy Spirit is the powerhouse of the church. So the big idea today, if Jesus visited our church, what would he say? What would he say about you being planted in the house of the Lord? Because you could wax lyrical about all sorts of other things, but what about you? What about me? How planted are we in the house of the Lord? Psalm 92, 12. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of the Lord. They will still bear fruit in old age, and they will stay fresh and green. So God is not an ageist. We don't get to a stage where we retire from Christianity. I've done my bit now. It's up to everyone else. I know when we get tired, we feel like that sometime. The newcomers should be doing it all now. I've been doing it for the past 50 years. I know we all feel like that at times, but I love it that it says they will stay fresh. It's not yesterday's anointing they're living on, we're living on. It's not yesterday, we did this yesterday. No, God wants us to stay fresh. We are fresh. His mercies are new every morning. He's faithful towards us. He has new revelation based on his word. Now, we know there's nothing new under the sun, according to Solomon, and nothing can be newer and fresher than the word of God. But his ways are new. His ways are perfect. The sons of Issachar understood the times they were living in. And to be planted in the church in today's world is an awesome thing. So the big idea with this being planted this morning is that those who are planted flourish. Isn't that great? You can take the one thing home with you today, that if I'm planted in God's house, I will flourish. It's not BHBC word to you. It's not Kevin Clark's word to you. I can't underwrite that word. It's God's word to you, found in Psalm 92. So what do we need to recognize? What do we need to recognize? We need to recognize that your life, my life, your life, is a seed. What does this mean? What does it mean that our life is a seed? That means that we have tremendous potential, just like a seed has tremendous potential to grow, to thrive, to multiply, to produce fruit, to be a blessing to others. But we also know, sadly, that a seed that is not planted has the potential to lie dormant. I mean, how many packets of seed do you have in your shed? In our previous months, in the shed, was candles bought in the 1940s, and packets of seed also looked like they were bought in the 1940s. They lay dormant, unproductive, unfruitful, and constantly dissatisfied. Now, I always say this, that a dissatisfied Christian is not a planted Christian. When we planted, we are satisfied because we are nourished by the Lord. Our roots grow deep. Uninvolved people, likewise, do not reach spiritual maturity. And the first point I have this morning is that a seed only grows if it's planted. A seed can only grow if it's planted. Have a look at that. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of God. Jesus spoke powerfully into this idea of seed. In Matthew 13, where Jesus spoke about a farmer or a sower, the word sower would have been very well understood by the contemporaries of Jesus. And he said that a sower went out to sow some seed. Now you know the parable, don't you? And the sower threw out some seed, and some of the seed fell on hard ground. And since it didn't take root, the birds of the air came and snatched it away. Isn't that sad? That a seed with all that potential to become something amazing can be snatched away so quickly, and potentially by something so insignificant as a bird of the air, which is here today and gone tomorrow. Some seed fell on shallow soil, and although there was growth for a while, it never grew deep. And when the sun beamed down on the seed, it withered up and it died immediately. And some started to grow, but the other plants and thorns around it choked the very life out of the emerging little plant. Do you see the metaphor? Some people have all the potential, but they never go anywhere because they're not planted. Some start to grow, and we know they sadly fade away. Some start to thrive spiritually, but then, like the birds come along, the worries of life come along, the concerns of life, the struggles of life, they come and they choke the very spiritual life out of the emerging little plant. Jesus then went on to say that seed that falls into good soil multiplies. I love Jesus. He doesn't do addition when it comes to our Christian lives. He does multiplication. And he doesn't just do any old multiplication. Jesus does some serious multiplication. He says it multiplies 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. And all the maths teachers love that. In other words, one seed planted in the house of the Lord has the potential to multiply and be a massive blessing. Now, the Bible commentator from last century, Matthew Henry, has something very fresh and very relevant to say about the cedars of Lebanon, because and the palm trees, because we usually just probably all go, right, a cedar of Lebanon. I mean, what does that mean to us? Palm tree, what does that mean to you? Maybe if you've been to some nice coastal place down in California, you can imagine the palm trees along the beach road, like Camps Bay, Cape Town, or the palm trees that comes to mind. But what does it mean? Well, Matthew Henry said this about the cedars. He said that the cedars grew tall in Lebanon. And the reason why they grew tall, and the reason why the writer here uses a cedar growing tall, because the writer wants to show us that we've got to grow closer to the God of heaven. That no matter what's going on around us, no matter the difficulties and the struggles in our lives, when we are planted, we have the ability to be like the cedar of Lebanon. We can grow tall and towards heaven and grow stronger. And Matthew Henry says, and aspire to the upper world. In other words, aspire to the things of heaven. Just like Colossians 3 says, to set our minds on things above. Matthew Henry continues to say, like cedars, we grow stronger and fitter for kingdom use. And he continued to say that they shall be cheerful and respected by those around them. Then the writer of the psalm mentions the palm tree. And we all know that dates are a very pleasant fruit of the palm tree, but also that palm trees are evergreen. But just before the writer of Psalm 92 mentions the palm tree, he writes about the grass, the wicked, that will just wither. But he writes then about the palm tree that will grow strong because it's planted. It's evergreen. Winter, in other words, does not change the palm tree. The more it's pressed down, the more it grows. The more it comes under attack and the coldness of the winter months, the more it flourishes under the burdens, under the afflictions, it multiplies. Can you see the spiritual lesson in that for us this morning? When we are planted in God's house, no matter what's going on in our lives, we should be able to grow higher and our fruit should multiply, because our fruit is not based on us. It's based on being together, on being planted, and our roots growing deeper in Jesus. Got 2 points. That was point one. Point number two. Can you believe it's going so quickly? Very simple. Understand that going to church and being planted is not the same thing. Church is not a destination we attend. I know we say we're going to church, but church is really a posture. It's who you are. It's not necessarily a destination. It's an identity on the inside of every single one of us. Jesus himself said, he will build his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Isn't that interesting? He could have said that he will build his church and all the angels will come and do the hallelujah charismatic hop with you. But he said, the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Because his church breaks through darkness and brings the kingdom in. But how do we do this? Not by attending, but by being planted. You know, I don't know about you. If you've got kids, I've noticed something. My children eat every day. It's one of those things. I don't have to say, you know, you're going to think about eating today. You really want to eat? Are you sure? Now, I ask myself that. Are you sure you really need this? But, you know, with the kids, we all need oxygen. We don't say, are you sure you need oxygen? Are you sure you need to breathe? And it's the same about the church. Because church is who we are. We are the church. And just like we shouldn't ask questions like, We don't ask questions like, are you sure you have to eat today? Are you sure you need oxygen to breathe? We shouldn't be asking questions, are you sure you want to go to church? Because church is more than this congregation here. Church is who we are, and God wants us planted in to what he's doing. In fact, we looked at it last week. Ecclesiology is the study of the church. And the Greek word church is ecclesia, which is broken up into two bits. Ecclesia, ek, which means out, and klesia, which comes from the Greek word kleo, which means called. So God has called us out. God has called us out of the world as a body united in him, planted in him, planted and rooted in his house. Isn't this exciting? And it's not what happens in here that's the most important thing. It's what happens out there. We go out there, we come here, we get recharged, we get encouraged, we have our worship, we do our communion, we do our baptisms, we're all encouraged, and we go out as the church. We are the church on a mission every day of our lives. Have a look at these scriptures from Hebrews, just to recap from last week. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us consider, it's good to consider, how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Spur. What kind of image does that bring up in your mind? Doesn't say, let us consider how we may gently rub our Christian neighbor's shoulder or gently cocoon, but spur. There's a great restaurant in South Africa called the Spur Steak Ranch. It's all about cowboys and steak. Spur's got that idea. You know, there's some action here. So there's some action when we see people that are not planted. Let's spur them on toward love, because this is what this is about. Not my love, not your love, the love of Christ in and through us. That's important. It has to be in and through us. And good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. I don't feel guilty. I never feel condemned. But you may feel convicted. Condemnation leads to death. It's a sentence, a death sentence. Conviction leads to life. It's transformation. And also don't be offended. I'm only reading scripture. Don't be offended. Be transformed. When I was on holiday, God spoke a lot of words all the time to me about church, about ministry, about Bucker's Deal, about this church. I could have been offended by some of it because some of it was difficult. And some of it will be difficult for all of us, but it'll be great. Because God is in it and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I chose to be transformed rather than offended. So here we go. Let's choose to be transformed. But encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Look, let's level with each other. We cannot do this Christian life alone. There are real problems out there. There's a real devil out there. I mean, if you don't believe in the devil, just read the news headlines. I'm not calling anybody the devil, but the problems in the world are devilish. They cannot be inspired by God. And the church is the solution in society. The church is the solution in politics. The church is the solution all over. This is God's big idea. It's called the church. And he's chosen to use people like you and me, with all our flaws, with all our habits that irritate each other about each other. He's chosen to use us. Warts and all. You know, have you ever said that to somebody and they really do have warts and all? I once said it to somebody, I felt so embarrassed. God loves you, warts and all I saw was warts, but you know, put my foot right into it. We all do that at times, you know. We all do that at times. I heard about the guy, you know, who, a true story, the guy, you know, who was a bit of an impatient driver, and he pulled some signs, and they weren't Christian hallelujah signs, to another driver on the way to church, and that person pulled up in the parking lot right next to him. You know, so but God loves us. Are we going to make it? We're going to make it. We've got to spur one another on. But then when you look at Ecclesia, we're called out once, but we're not called out just to float around and somehow by some form of osmosis get somewhere. God is a very clear structure. God is highly organized. I mean, to run the universe, I mean, it goes without say, and it's almost disrespectful to say the next thing. But to run the universe, you have to be highly organized. To create what we see around us, think of the creative genius. Think of the organizational skills and abilities. Why would the church be any different? We're not meant just to float around. God has an organization in mind when it comes to the church, a movement, a momentum. Hebrews 13, 17 and 18. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to those in authority. Submit to the authority. So God puts authority. It's not my authority. It's his authority on a leader's life because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. It's true. Even the Bible says if you're a teacher of the word, there's a higher judgment because you're teaching the word. There's a higher judgment on preachers and teachers of the word because God gives us a revelation of it to bring to the congregation. Keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you. A burdened leader is of no benefit to anyone. Look in any organization, in any business, in any industry, in any political sphere. A burdened leader is of no good. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And I can really say that of our church leadership team. They do have a clear conscience and they do desire to live honorably in every way. So the church is the great love of Jesus. I'm going to conclude on the roots idea. Would you turn to Jeremiah 17, verse 18? I'd love to preach on this in depth, but I'm going to just give you a little taster in my conclusion. So Psalm 92 thought about being planted in the house of the Lord and flourishing and being like that tree in Lebanon and like the palm tree. That all looks very good. And that's being planted in the house of the Lord. But before we can be planted in the house of the Lord, we need to be planted in Jesus. And this is what Jeremiah 17, 18 points out. But blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? Wow, just receive that. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord. Do you trust in the Lord? You're blessed. Wow. Whose confidence is in him. Ultimately, we trust in him. Ultimately, as a church, as a people, as an individual, your confidence is in him. They will be like, oh yeah, we go to the tree thing again. Isn't this exciting? At least I think it is. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when the heat comes. Its leaves are always green. You see a similar theme going on here. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. When the roots grow deep, what happens? It has no worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. Andrea mentioned a roller coaster ride. Her life is on at the moment. I'm sure most of us can identify with that. We go through highs and lows. We go through times that are of spiritual drought. Even churches do. And we go through times individually and as a church where there seems to be no fruit. But we are blessed if we trust in the Lord. And our confidence is in Him. We are blessed, Psalm 92, if we are planted in the house of the Lord. Because why does this tree Jeremiah is talking about have no worries? It has no worries in spiritual heat. Maybe you've got spiritual heat going on. It has no worries during times of trial. It has no worries in times of drought. We've seen firsthand what a severe drought of over 3 years has done to a country. It's not a pretty sight. But yeah, no worries. When the roots grow deep, they are not bothered. When our roots grow deep in the Lord, when our roots are deep in Jesus, we are not bothered by the drought because our roots are connected to a deeper, greater source than what is happening on the surface. On the surface level, there could be a drought. But we are not surface level people. We are a deep people in the Lord. And our roots grow deep into the nourishing waters of our God. You see, friends, beneath the ground, the bit that nobody sees, there's a support system that sustains us and strengthens us in our growth in the Lord. And our support system is the Lord. And our support system is also each other. Because when we are planted, we will truly support one another. And I can promise you one thing this morning, that opposition will come in our lives. Struggles will come. We will have setbacks. So that's great preaching. It depressed me even more. But it happens. But we are not a surface people. We are not dependent on the water that lies on the surface or the nutrients that lie on the surface because our roots grow deep. We can grow like that Lebanon tree heavenward. We can be like that palm tree, strong, bearing dates, bearing fruit. Even when the heat is on, we can do it in Jesus' name. We will all face some sort of opposition. And if we face it alone, if we are an island as a Christian, I need to say this in absolute love and with tremendous concern. If we face opposition as a Christian and we are alone or you're alone or I am alone, we are at severe risk. I don't know if your engine has ever overheated in your motor car. It's not a good thing. Many years ago, I drove all the way from Bloemfontein to Cape Town. And the engine overheated and the engine blew a gasket. You know, we all blow a gasket from time to time, you know. And it was a week's repair in the garage when the engine blew a gasket. And when we're not supported by one another, when our roots aren't in the Lord and then everything else in church life, but they're not in the Lord. And that's why I sent out, the CRT sent out that letter from the Baptist Union General Secretary to all our members as part of your pack. Because this is really what it's about. It's about being planted. Read that letter carefully and prayerfully. It's about being planted in the deep things, in the real things of where God is calling us to go. And now I've got communion to get through. I'm trying to preach shorter, okay? It is my new life resolution. Help me with this, please, okay? You know, I don't think the devil minds at all whether or not we come to church. But when you planted, you are a threat to the kingdom of darkness. When you are planted, you are part of something like we looked at last week, which is way bigger than us as an individual, which is way bigger than us as a congregation. We are planted in something global, which the Lord is doing all around the world. We need the family of God. I need you. You need me, believe it or not. We are family. We are the church. We planted. God has chosen us and He has put us together in this place. Isn't it wonderful? And I love it that it says the leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. What is this fruit? Not just natural fruit, We all can produce natural fruit, but there's spiritual fruit. We know about it. Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do you notice the two bookends? Love and self-control. Everything else is in between those two. The others all fall apart if we don't have love and we don't have self-control. The two bookends. Against such things there's no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Amen. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. You notice something about that list? We produce that fruit not in isolation, but only when we plant it. Because you need that fruit for other people. We need patience with other people. We need gentleness with other people. We need love. We need self-control. It's not just for me. It's for other people. This fruit bursts out when we are planted in His house. And even if you're going through a difficult season, love still comes out. Because it's fruit. Because our roots are deep. If our roots aren't deep and we go through a difficult season, all hell breaks loose. You're going to blow a gasket. Joy still comes out in a difficult season. I think almost every one of us here this morning can say amen to that. That no matter the difficulties we go through, joy still comes out as a fruit. We know the Bible says consider it pure joy when you go through trials of many kinds. That's not popular preaching, is it? The fruit is not just for you. Love blesses other people. Joy is contagious. You know, to be able to stand up here and lead worship and say, look, my life's a roller coaster, and you see the joy of the Lord on a person. It's contagious. It's an encouragement. It's being planted. Peace is attractive. Peace is attractive. If you had peace with God and man and church and life, it's a very attractive thing. So in conclusion, it's time that we are planted. Spiritual opposition will come. Temptation will come. But let's get planted because God will keep us strong in community. You know that some people may spend more on coffees during the week than on giving towards God's work. And they think that's being planted. Some people spend more time on Instagram than on serving. Is that really being conformed to the image of Christ? How are you doing? You know, my life might not be perfect. Your life might not be perfect. Let's be real. But I know where my roots are. And hopefully you can say the same. Our roots are deep. Our roots are strong. And we need our brothers. And we need our sisters in Christ. Let's be loved. Let's love. Let's be part of something bigger than any human emotion. Let's be part of His kingdom, His church. Let's be planted. I don't go to a building. I go to church. You're the church. I am the church. I haven't come to this building. I wonder if Jesus really cares about where we meet. He cares about who we are and how we planted. Five things as we lead into communion. For every tree to flourish, it takes soil, it takes light, it takes water, it takes temperature, and it takes time. It takes soil. And that's up to you to have the good soil in your heart. Only you can do that with Jesus is to have some good soil in your heart. It takes light. The light of God's word. His word is a light unto our path and a lamp to our feet. We need light. It takes water. The living water of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It takes temperature. It takes the fire of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And then it takes time. The cedars of Lebanon didn't grow overnight. A beautiful palm tree doesn't grow overnight. It takes time. Be patient with me, he may say. God isn't finished with me yet. Folks, now is the time. I believe God wants all of us to flourish in His church. All of us to be evergreen. to be stable and strong like the cedar of Lebanon, and to be victorious like the triumphant palm. Only those who are planted in the house of the Lord, according to Scripture, can truly flourish. Let us pray together. We thank you for your love, Lord. Help us to be planted. Father God, I am aware that this message has so many different meanings to so many different people. And I praise you for that. Help us apply to our own individual lives whatever the message means to us, to be planted and to flourish in the house of the Lord. We're going to go into communion in a moment's time. While every head is bowed and eyes closed, before we go into communion, is your life right with Jesus? Is your life right with Jesus? If you'd like to commit or recommit your life to Jesus today, before we go into communion, because this is the table of the Lord, it's for God's children. So this is just a time just to get our hearts and lives right with Him. Just pray this prayer after me and say, "Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me on the cross. Please forgive me, a sinner. I believe you rose again from the dead. And today I invite you into my life. I want my roots to grow deep in you. I desire for you to be the source of my life. I want to be a Christian, not only in name, but a true Christian in every way." Seal this prayer with your Holy Spirit. I pray this in Jesus' name. While every eye is closed and head is bowed, if you prayed that prayer, just gently slip up your hand. God bless you. Put down your hand. Bless you. Anybody else? God bless you. God bless you. Lord, I thank you for the three people that have responded. Just pray for the seal of your Holy Spirit to be upon them. And I pray that their roots would grow deep into you, and that you would nourish them and love them and care for them and uplift them and strengthen them and prosper them. In your name we pray. Amen.